tweet at Today SOR.
Me Too, the hashtag taken up as a clarion cry of solidarity by thousands of women in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein allegations, has been hailed as a breakthrough in the fight against sexual harassment, with many people claiming that it has broken an apparent silence, yet its embrace has not been universal. And some people are asking if the new feminism sparked by the Me Too movement is in fact a threat to women's liberation. I'm joined now by two people who will be debating this issue at the Festival of Politics in the Temple Bar. They're meeting on Saturday in the Temple Bar, as I say. But on the line now is Ella Whelan, author and commentator with the British internet magazine Spiked. She says the Me Too movement is a signifier that feminism has lost its way and is devoted to exaggerating the problem of harassment. She's in London and on the line, while here with me in studio, Alva Smith, academic feminist and activist. Thank you indeed for joining me, both of you. First of all, Alva, just maybe to get the definition out there, I mean, what is the current definition of a feminist? I mean, is it a very subjective thing?
A feminist is always someone who is up for women, up for women's equality, up for equality and social justice in the world, because it is about equality between women and men. And therefore, my definition has always been a very simple and a very straightforward one, Sean. I am up for women, whoever, wherever, whenever.
And is there a difference between feminism and women's liberation?
Well, I think that for me, it is, of course, always about women and men indeed, but all of us having our fundamental freedoms. So for me, feminism is about seeking and ensuring and protecting a fundamental freedom, which is really central to all of our lives. So in whatever I've been involved in, whatever I do, that's number one.
Is it true to speak of, or is it correct to speak of, a new feminist movement in the last 2 years arising from the Me Too campaign?
Well, let me say, first of all, that I think, you know, every generation since the been now three or four generations since I became involved in the women's movement, and every new generation of women, maybe it's three and a half, brings something new to the table, because the world is constantly changing, they're meeting new challenges and still trying to deal with the old baseline fundamental problems that we live in a gendered world where male power is still reigns superior, if not absolutely supreme, to women. So we're still dealing with the patriarchy. So I'm not at all surprised. I think that this is, you know, I welcome this new spurt, this huge push of energy that we're finding through the Me Too movement.
Is it just about people just giving expression to what they were fearful of expressing before, or is there an element of feminism that's about maybe making women more powerful than men?
There's always something. Feminism is always about changing the world so that there will be equality. So that is not about me becoming more powerful than you. On the other hand, I don't want you to be more powerful than me. This is not the way in which we want the world to work. So I think that's not the right way of seeing it. I don't think that's accurate. It is about ensuring that women have the power that they need in their lives. Women and girls, let me really emphasise that, because I think that's been very pertinent in the hashtag MeToo movement, that it's very often very young women and girls who are saying, I have been mistreated, I have been damaged, I have been hurt in a situation where I don't have any power, or I don't feel myself to have any power.
If I could come to you, Ella Whelan, on the line there, as I say, you are a columnist with the Spiked online or British internet magazine, but also you've got a new book out or coming out now, and it's called What Women Want, Fun, Freedom and an End to Feminism. Why would you want an end to feminism?
Yeah, that subtitle usually gets me into trouble. But what I mean by it is that I think that actually feminism today, this new generation of feminism that Alva's alluded to, is more about protecting women and making women safe rather than arguing for women's freedom. And those two things are really quite different, in my opinion. So all the drives to change the law to make women safer, to make women more protected, in my view, there's a good argument for saying that they actually restrict women's freedom.
But if women aren't,
treat women...
Sorry to cut across you. If women aren't protected, how can they be free?
Well, this is the point. So if you take, for example, there's a new law being proposed in the UK to make misogyny a hate crime, which is largely sort of inspired by the Me Too movement. Also, politicians who are pushing it are arguing. And really what that is saying is that women should be watched by the police, and that something as low level, in my opinion, as wolf whistling should be made illegal. So that's really treating women like children. That's not treating women as equal to men, as ugly and you know, bulshy and capable of public life as men. So, you know, while I agree with Alpha that I think that if I was ever going to support feminism, it would be the kind of argument that it's up for women. But I think actually at the moment it's not up for women. It's up for protecting women and treating women like children.
But can I just say that, you know, what really interested me about the Me Too movement was that in fact it was women saying individually first and then realising that this was a kind of collective, global, huge problem on a massive scale. It was women speaking up against basically the failure of their employers, the failure of institutions, the failure of law, the failure of policy, failures all round to actually ensure that they were safe and secure in their everyday lives. Because while the movement was very much promoted by women who are celebrities, whether it's Hollywood or wherever, it was just ordinary everyday women in ordinary everyday jobs who were saying, look, I didn't feel great. I felt very uncomfortable. I was distressed. I felt unsafe. And at that level, I think that that sort of expression of that outrage and anger, really, at the failure of our world, so to speak, to pay any attention to this. And let me say that in Ireland, whatever about in the UK, we had Central Statistics Office figures last year that showed that reported rapes had increased by 28% in 2017. Sexual crimes have increased on the increase right across the board. So we are looking at a situation that if it weren't ongoing, you would call it an epidemic. It is there all the time, this violence against women in different shades and to different degrees, but it is abuse, and it is an abuse of male power.
Ella?
I think it's the important thing which Alva has just said is the different shades, the different degrees. And I think the problem that I find with the Me Too movement as it has existed online is that it's really conflating the sort of what Alva calls shades. So we have the majority of the kind of Me Too expressions that I've read have not been about harassment as the kind of law understands. It have not been about violence or those more serious things like rape and sexual harassment, but have been the kind of sort of, you know, annoying but not criminal actions like being asked out at a bar when you didn't want to be, or someone standing too close to you, or someone making a compliment when you didn't want it. I think the crucial thing for me is that I'm very, very interested and desirous of having a discussion about how to beat sexual harassment and to stop rape. But I think the problem is what the Me Too movement is doing is encouraging women to see themselves as damaged, as victims, as powerless, actually, rather than empowering them to change society, to argue for what they want, to argue for more freedom.
Now,
I'm completely all up. I'll just finish this point. Which is, I'm completely up for women being vocal. The interesting thing about the Me Too movement, which is sort of my stickler and why I really don't like it, is that much of the commentary about it said that before Alyssa Milano, this absurdly paid American actress, tweeted this thing, Me Too, that before then, women were silent. You know, that is mad. And I'd be, if I was a feminist of your generation, Alva, I'd be insulted by that, because this is what it's saying. It's saying that women are so powerless, so childlike, without agency that they can't do anything about bad behaviour.
Of course we weren't silent, Ella. On the other hand, I think that what social media does is it gives this incredible opportunity, if you like. I mean, I know it has limitations and dangers, but it amplifies, it magnifies. And I think that what has happened with Me Too is that as one woman spoke up and then another and another, that it created this sense of this solidarity, which I think is in fact very empowering for women. So I don't really follow your argument there at all.
I just want to broaden this a little bit. And I know mention has been made in the conversation so far as rape, and I suppose something that might be described as a derivative of the hashtag Me Too movement has been happening very interestingly and very significantly in this country in the last few days. Hundreds of protesters came out in Dublin and Cork yesterday calling for an end end to what they describe as victim blaming in rape trials. It follows a trial in Cork last week during which a 27-year-old man was found not guilty of raping a 17-year-old girl. And one issue raised by a defence barrister during her summing up has caused controversy, where she told jurors in her closing address that they should look at the way the complainant was dressed, that she was wearing a thong with a lace front. This is a sense of the mood at yesterday's protest in Cork.
This is never consent. End victim blaming in Ireland. It has no place in our courtrooms and it has no place in our streets. So once more, we stand in anger, in fury, after yet another trial where a woman was used as evidence of consent.
Stop the shame. Victims are never to blame. Stop the stigma, stop the shame. Victims are never to blame.
Wherever we are,
wherever we go, yes means yes and no means no. Whatever we wear, wherever we go, yes means yes and no means no.
Yes means yes and no means no. The cry there of some of those protesters. Ella Whelan, do you have any difficulty with that kind of approach?
Well, I have no difficulty with that slogan. I mean, that's absolutely right. Yes means yes and no means no. What I do have difficulty with, and I realise this is making me pretty unpopular saying this, but is the follow-on from that slogan, which is the hashtag I believe her, and describing that woman as a victim rather than a complainant. Now, the problem is that what's happening is that these sort of Me Too movements, hashtag I believe her movements, are arguing for women in situations of rape cases, women who are complainants, to be believed. Now, I think that complainants should be listened to and treated with respect and dignity and properly, but believed, no.
And what about the
believed
issue of...
means that you, hang on, believe, this is really crucial. Belief means that you have no necessity for evidence, and that isn't just.
And what about the relevance of what a woman was wearing in the incident, which is the subject of the trial?
I mean, that
yeah. Well, I think it's just, absolutely Ella Frost, right, yeah, to be. Okay. It's absolutely right to be outraged if it was the case that this case was decided on the basis of what that woman was wearing, her knickers or any part of her outfit. That would be totally right to be outraged if that was the deciding factor.
Is it a relevant issue, Dr. Reyes?
But it isn't. Well, from my point of view, it's a bad point for the defence lawyer to use. But the issue is, this is quite a difficult one to explain from my point of view, but the issue is, you have to be able to use all aspects of a case in relation to determining justice. Oh. And while we can say that it should not be a defining factor, I think that the problem is it's been turned into a narrative that women are, you know, it's the justice is stacked against women in relation to these cases. This is not a universal issue. Defence lawyers are not using this all the time in relation to rape cases.
Okay, there are two strands to this, Alva Smith. Yeah. One, I believe her. I mean, can you say that before you hear the evidence?
Well, I definitely trust women to be doing the very best that they can and to be telling the truth, because it's not in a woman's interest, as we've seen so often in rape case after rape case in Ireland, but also abroad, that we see that all the time, that a woman runs a huge risk in taking a rape case. So, in fact, the research has shown both in the States and in Europe that the rate of false allegations runs between 2-8%. So it is very, very small. We also need to set against that, which something I think is extremely important, that the conviction rate in reported rape cases, the ones that actually go to trial, is something like 8%. Now, that is absolutely scandalous. So the question
are you saying
of
that
belief,
are you saying that so many juries then are getting it wrong?
Well, there is something. The point I was going to make is that there is clearly something wrong with a legal system and a judicial system and a whole culture in which women tell the truth, and we have no reason to disbelieve them. Women tell the truth about their lives, and they go through the system systematically. They go through a process, and yet there is no conviction at the end. In case after case after case after case, that is not the same for any other crime, Sean. So there is clearly a massive problem. I don't have all of the answers to it. Nobody has all of the answers to it. But what is very clear with the rates of violence that we have growing levels of abuse, sexual harassment, really quite rampant in our workplaces, we have to take radical action. And we need to do that now, not just here, but really globally, because this is a global movement.
Okay, look, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. There's so much more we could have covered and with the back and forth of this conversation. But happily for people who have tickets, you are both going to be reconvening
yes,
in the Temple Bar.
Yes, look forward to that, Ella.
On Saturday, yeah, you said, too. Lunchtime, is it?
Lunch at 1 o'clock, actually, in Taylor's Hall.
Okay, and that is a part of the Temple Bar Festival of Politics. Maybe there are still some tickets right now, yeah. Though I just say thanks to you both, Alva Smith here in Dublin, Ella Whelan, author of What Women Want, Fun, Freedom and an End to Feminism. Thanks indeed for joining us from London. We take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.